We are going to continue this morning in God's Word, so pray with me if you would. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you for a chance, as I said, to gather together in your name and to remember our priorities, remember what matters and why you matter to us, and more impressively, that we matter to you, Father. So we thank you so much for the chance to gather here in this place as your church to hear your Word. I pray, Father, that as we come in this place, we have all kinds of things happening, and someone talked about already, Father, the state of the world, that we would be able to let our guard down with you and let you tell us what's really happening in this life. And so for all the ways, maybe the hurts or the heartaches or the disappointments or the difficulties or the joys and celebrations that we've had over the last several days, Father, that we would right now just listen to you and have you be our teacher. I do pray, Father, that the meditations of my heart and reflections of my mind are glorifying to you, and that the things that come out of my mouth will be heard rightly by those who hear them. And that's only your power, Father. I have no wisdom of my own, as you well know. And so, Father, would you speak to your people? Would you give us your wisdom today by your mercy and your grace? And may we just be willing to hear that today fully. We pray that you would do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So today is an exciting Sunday for me because we're starting a brand new sermon series. And if you don't know what a brand new sermon series means for me, it usually means a whole lot of work as the series starts, because we have to shake the Etch-A-Sketch and start over. And it means a lot of figuring out what we're doing next. And by the way, if you're wondering what we're doing next, after this three-week series, we're going to get back into the Gospel of Matthew for 4 weeks, and then we'll see after that where we're heading. So if you have thoughts and input, I'd love to hear it. But every time we do this, it comes with a whole bunch of constructs, I would say, or kind of discernment, right, of where God is leading us and what he's calling us to learn, and I mean us together. We said, if you were here last week for Sanctity of Life Sunday, that was a God thing, and many people have responded to that over the last week, having been impacted, and yet all I can say is that was God's work amongst God's people. We did not sit down and plan that out. It's just what happened. And so we pray that is the same always for, I pray it's always the same for all of our series. And so we're starting this new series called War of the Words. War of the Words. I was stunned this morning. I love the song selection, and that was part of our planning. Not that I picked the songs, but we knew what we were going to talk about as a church family, and it was great. But I was amazed, as Dale was sharing some things this morning, and as you do every Sunday, Dale, that it gives us an attentiveness to what's happening right now in our world. Funny enough that you mentioned the mall thing. When you said the mall giant, I'm like, what are you talking about? And then when you said the 200 police responding, I'm like, oh, I heard about that, but I didn't hear the mall giant part of that conversation. And it actually reminds me of what was my artistic inspiration for the series, War of the Words, because it's very close to the War of the World, right? And it was intentionally a play on those ideas, that the very things we say, the very things we hear, the very things that get us angry can very easily in the world as we know it. That's how this works. From the very beginning of creation, there's this tendency or a propensity of humans to misunderstand, miscommunicate, and end up killing each other over it, right? And so if you got an engagement sheet today, I hope that you did, this is a little bit of a play on that idea, right? You may well know that in the late 1800s, there was a science fiction book written called The War of the Worlds. It was written by a person named H.G. Wells, and it was about Martians coming to Earth. Now, I don't know if you grew up on any sci-fi pop stuff, but I loved sci-fi books when I was a kid. I loved to read them. I still remember some of them and the lessons they taught, right? But it was just a story. It was just a novel. It was well known. And then over 125 years ago, by the way, that was written. And then about 40 years later, there was a gentleman named Orson Welles who was doing an evening radio broadcast on Halloween. And he thought, you know, it'd be really fun if we made an adaptation of The War of the Worlds as our live radio broadcast. Now, I know this is hard to imagine. Many of you, I know this story already, right? But can you, you know, we act like we are now at the pinnacle of creation, but so much of what we have is just regurgitated ideas. But this was a box that sat in your house, and you turned it on and dialed it in, and you listened attentively. This is a step away from staring at the fire having conversations, right? This was an intimate thing. And so you can imagine then, as this radio broadcast goes out on Halloween, that they begin to hear this story of an invasion. But what Orson Welles did was he told it as if it was actually happening. Now, there's some controversy about whether or not the public was warned that this is just a story. But as you know, what resulted was full-blown panic because people heard the story and began to think it was real, that we were actually being invaded. And you can imagine sitting around your box with this noises, you know, and your family in the den of your homes, you would think, what is going on in the world? This is one of the funny things that happens today, is we act as if the miscommunication problem just started recently. But it's been happening for a long time. And in that miscommunication, I think it was intended, of course, to be an artistic expression, but probably not intended to create panic in the nation, right? That this very famous now, or maybe some would say infamous, but I would say famous broadcast changed how we viewed the perception of people. See, here's the reality is that we are as likely to destroy one another as to be destroyed by some outside force. The fear in the broadcast was that they're coming. But the truth is, when we think they are coming, we panic and begin to harm or threaten one another, right? And so this idea that came from all those years ago, almost a century ago now, even the radio broadcast, that begins to help us understand our current cultural moment, where the things that we hear, the things that we experience, might drive us into our own panic about what's happening in the world. I love that Dale always ends that, by the way, saying, but we know Jesus Christ. That's where we have our confidence. We ought not be afraid. Even if you were listening to that radio broadcast in that time and you were a believer in Christ, you ought not to have panicked in that moment. Whatever is happening, the Lord is sovereign over whatever may be happening. And I'm coming to thinking then, how much of our fighting, how much of our arguing, how much of our conflict in our daily lives is based in communication or miscommunication? Now, I've been thinking about the series like this for over a year and how we miscommunicate when we try to communicate. There's the old joke that is not very funny, but it's like, if it weren't for miscommunication, there'd be no communication at all, right? I don't know if you're like me, but I feel like often I'm trying to say something and people aren't hearing what I'm trying to say. And then people are hearing things that I don't think I said, and they're convinced that's exactly what I said. And you scale this up into a global context. Now get this, where everyone is listening to everyone else, and it gets overwhelming. See, here's the truth. The words that others choose to use are a big deal. And they're a big enough deal that we ought to be intentional in how we hear what other people are saying. And we're going to start there because that's where the Bible starts there, this idea that we should listen first. Some of this language, just to connect it back a little bit to last week in the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday we had, is some of the language that we use these days are intended to conflate or communicate, right? To talk a little politics, by the way, if you ever want to know what a bill is not about, just read the title. Because they write the title about the opposite of the thing that they're going to try to do in the bill usually. And you would think I'm being, exaggerating, but literally it can be the exact opposite in the bill of what it says is going to be, right? So I'm not going to give you examples because I'm not going to try to pick on a bill, but there's just tons of things that don't do what they say they do. And that's intentional miscommunication, right? But thinking about other issues, right? I was thinking about last Sunday, and we have two sides in this conversation around abortion, and it's what? Pro-choice, right? And pro-life, right? And unless we pause to think about the intentionality of the words that have been chosen, we'll miss the whole argument that's happening. Because the argument is not exactly pro-choice and pro-life. That's for the people who are on that side. But what's really being communicated is if you're not pro-choice, you're anti-choice. You see, there's an implication built into the word. If you're not for us, you are against us. And then the same would be true. If you're not pro-life, you must be anti-life. Now, I bet you money that if you went around to people and you said that, are you anti-choice? And if it was outside of the context of this language, people say, no, you can make decisions. I make decisions. And if you ask someone, are you anti-life? But for a few outliers, people would say, no. And so it's intended to communicate and at the same time miscommunicate to force, may I say, a false choice. Now, I'm not talking about the issue of abortion alone, but there's implications in the language that we use. And the language is not just to affirm what we believe, but to reject what anyone else would say. This is the language that's used against us daily, right? We can have a civil conversation, and in the middle of it, if someone drops certain words, the conversation must stop. Communication must end. There's no way to continue to talk because of the implications of the words being used. Something else to think about, right, is, I want to be kind to ourselves because we live in, think about Orson Welles and the War of the Worlds, but we live in a communication-saturated culture now that we can hear this morning in this very room, although you're sitting here with us together, that you could right now find out what's happening on the other side of the world. That's remarkable. No telegraph, no, you have a telephone, but it's not exactly a phone, it's a computer now that's always connected, always on, and always listening to you and everyone else. And you can find out what's happening in other places. That's wild. That's a grand cultural experiment we've never lived in before. Maybe the Tower of Babel, when we could all talk and listen at the same time. That's interesting. And so we have people communicating. Now, then what happens is we see things often on these little devices in our pockets or the ones in our desks or whatever, or the ones in our ears, right? Maybe you all have something like this in your pocket that you could instantly tune out the world, right? And you begin to hear things that cause outrage. We get so upset, we immediately tell all of our friends. You won't believe what I just read or saw or heard. But we often don't slow down long enough to actually understand what we're saying. It's a dangerous thing. That is to say this, that there's an obligation to understand context around a conversation. Because things can be edited in such a way that they're deceiving. And then even the paranoia about being deceived can become its own deception. Does that make sense? So like we can literally get so paranoid about people being dishonest that we think everyone's dishonest all the time. But the obligation is ours to be careful in how we listen. Here's some ways that we see this. Selective editing. I have heard our media, and I'm not picking on the media, and I don't know if it's intentional or not intentional, we can have a conversation, but they just selectively quote something. They pull it out of its context. And then everyone gets outraged. And part of the goal is to get attention. So in the attention-seeking culture that we live in, to create outrage creates success. So the more outrageous, the better off they are, despite the effect it has on us or our friends. And so that selection then ends up requiring us to do some work. Is that really what happened? And I hate to say this, but oftentimes when I hear something particularly outrageous, I will have to spend the time, if I care about the topic, and maybe I shouldn't care, to go and find the entirety of the thing to understand the context. And I go, well, no. And by the way, if there's sides in this, that works on both sides. So I'm not picking on any one. I'm saying there's a cultural problem here that we're intentionally manipulating one another for a response. Here's another one that we saw several years ago, but we still continue to see, and it's reverberating throughout our culture, is videoed police encounters. And I think it's remarkable, and again, this isn't about where you stand on this issue, but that we literally have police officers always recording everything all the time. That's wild. If you've ever looked at certain police cars, they have cameras outfitted all over them, right? And these devices are always capturing. And so you would think, well, now we're going to get to the truth because we're going to see it all. We're going to demand all the tapes, show us all the tapes, and we'll finally understand it. But the truth is that even with all the tapes, they're selectively muted or turned on and off. It's an editing process. And then we get outraged. How did that happen? And what we continue to see over and over is the human condition displayed, reflected back on us. So that's a problem. You go out and you demand all the tapes. I want to see everything. I want to know everything. And then I'll decide what's right or wrong. And we won't agree. Here's something else really weird that this very week I happened to stumble into, because this is some of the thing I choose to do with my life. There was someone who was working for a company, and they found out that they were going to be fired, probably, because their coworkers called them and say, heads up, you're probably going to get a call from HR, and you're going to get fired today. And then she's like, how do you know? And they're like, well, they just fired me. All these impromptu meetings. I remember I had one of those myself at a company where I got to work at 8 a.m. on a Monday, and they said, come down to HR. And I thought, this isn't good. It's not good on a Monday morning at 8 a.m. to go to HR. And you walk in, and you see the partner of your division sitting in the chair. That's not good. I'm not that important. This day's about to change my life. Well, this person knew this was happening, and so they took out this little device here, and they set it in the corner because they worked from home, and they opened up TikTok, and they started it, and they had a meeting. And it created outrage. It created backlash to the company. And there's all these things being communicated, and I even wonder, do we listen? How do we listen to that? Who are we trying to listen to, and what is how we hear that say, what does that say more about us than others? And so we have all these complexities where these intimate moments are being broadcast for the world to see, where we're trying to be heard in some way. See, part of our work is to find context. Now, I want to pull this out of this grand global narrative because, you know, one of the things I've come to realize of late is we won't change the whole world, but we can maybe influence our own lives a little bit, right? We can decide what we are going to do, how we're going to interact. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of James, if you would, this morning. James, we're going to have one verse for the series, James chapter 1, verse 19. One verse, I'm going to read you the whole verse, and we're going to talk about part of it today. This is what the word says. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's the whole thing right there. Say it again. My dearest brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So today we're going to talk about this idea of being quick to listen. I've talked about this in Family Bible before because I remember what stood out to me in my recollections is the verse goes like this. Quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. And there's something that God is teaching us through the book of James that he wants us to understand about how we ought to communicate and interact with one another. So today we're talking about quickness, being quick to listen. I want to do an exercise real quick. And I'm going to take out my device here, my little lovely pocket computer, and I'm going to start a timer. I want you to listen. We're going to listen together for 30 seconds. There will be a quiz at the end. Go. What did you hear? Nothing? A door? What door? A door slammed somewhere. What did you hear? Cars on the streets? Baby noises? I'm sorry? I hear you talking at the same time. What did you say? What was it, though?
Pages turning.
Yeah, I see the page turning.
Ruffling pages.
Rustling in their seats.
Huh?
A fan.
Oh, I didn't know where that fan was coming from. Anything else? How about the buzz of the lights over our heads? Do you hear that? It's more subtle than like the fan noises. By the way, I don't have very good hearing, Jim, if that's what you're. Isn't it interesting? And by the way, you could do this exercise anytime you wanted if you just sit and intentionally listen to what's happening around you. This morning when we were singing, I stopped to listen to what I was hearing. Right before I did the exercise with you, I noticed that the HVAC kicked off. I was wondering if it'd be on or off when we did the exercise together. Would you hear that? We're submerged in a world of sound, but we often don't hear. And so today we're going to talk about what it means to be quick to listen, why that matters in all of our relationships, as well as some tips on how we can apply this practically in our lives in the human context. So the exercise was listening to, we were all silent. Did you hear that silence, right? You said nothing. Did you hear the silence? No one was speaking. Before we get into this, I want to admit to you, and this is the irony, this week I met with someone on Monday, and they said, pray that the Lord would teach me patience. And I said, friends of mine, I said, that's a dangerous prayer. Because God will give you reasons to be patient. I can tell you as I prepared for this message today, God brought opportunities in my life where I fail to listen. It's an interesting thing, the way God chooses to teach us. So James 1:19 says, know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. I want to acknowledge that verse. And it's Adelphos in the Greek, but it's my dear brothers, take note of this, my dear brothers and sisters, however your translation reads. But I want you to notice that it is written to the church. When he says brothers and sisters, it means those who are believing in Christ. And so this listening, quickness in listening, is written to the church itself. Now, here's a truism then. That we all have a tendency to not listen well. Thinking about when you're teaching a small child, you'll often say to that child, you're not listening right now, right? But we all have this failure built in somehow to us, that very few of us on our own are particularly good listeners. But more strikingly and perhaps more painfully, it seems to me that when Christians aren't good listeners, it's really bad. And I'm saying this as a fellow brother in Christ. It's bad whenever I am bad at listening. And it almost, to me, feels worse. Why? Because we have this command here. Brothers and sisters, my beloved, take note of this. Mark this down. Something else to notice in this is that the priorities matter. There's going to be three clear movements. That's why there's 3 weeks in the message. But there's, or in the series, there's three clear movements. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And I thought, are those prioritized in some way? Like, could you be slow to anger but then quick to listen? Or could you be slow to speak but then quick to listen? And they kind of do come together, right? You can do those probably in order. But it's interesting to me that the first thing that James says is be quick to listen. One, everyone, the word says, everyone, pos all, should be, ought to be, this is an instruction, quick to listen. We should listen first. We should be listeners. Our default setting, there's this tradition in the Eastern Church of writing icons. If you've ever seen it, who knows what an icon is? Not really an icon on your phone, but yeah, like a religious icon. It's a representation of a saint, someone who's come to faith in Christ. And if you've ever noticed them, especially in the Eastern Church, Eastern Orthodox Church, the face has different shapes and proportions, and they usually have really big ears. And that's not because God gave them really big ears, it's because they're good at listening. There's that old saying that God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? A proportionality issue. Now some of you are like scientifically like, no, it's so you can echolocate things. I get it. But there's something we're, right? One speaking tool. Lots of listening, lots of seeing, lots of smelling, one speaking, lots and lots of feeling. That we have this opportunity to listen. The icons would have large eyes and large ears and a small mouth. Oh, that we should all be saints like that. Be quick to listen. Priority matters. The word says this, let everyone be swift to listen. In the Greek, it means to be fleet. You ever heard of fleet feet, fast feet? It's something that we ought to be faster at, the word says. Something that we are should be prompt in doing, right? Prompt in listening. Or, as the word says, be quick to listen. Now, you can imagine, I was thinking about who needs to really be listening. And I'm thinking, what's the harm? What's the harm if we don't listen well, right? When we're working on the building, you come through the front door and there's a thing and there's a sign that says, here's the rules. If you just ignore that and go on, I would still be helpful, wouldn't I? I could just go in there and I could tear out whatever I wanted, couldn't I? And you're going to go, no. What if you tear out the wrong thing? What if you do the wrong thing? Or thinking about it practically, we love athletics, right? And have you ever seen runners? And they run around a track in circles, which seems utterly useless to me, but sure. But it's to see who's the fastest. I get it. And they get down the blocks. But can you imagine if you had a runner in the blocks who didn't listen for the gun? They just took off. Are they going to win the race? No. They'd be disqualified. You left before what? The gun fired. What if you had someone who was on the blocks and they're like, I'm super good at being on the blocks and all this, and the gun went off and they don't leave? Did they win the race? No. They've gotten left behind. There's this point of listening and a reaction to listening and obedience that's as important as how fast you can run. It's a perception issue. Do you hear it? Are you listening? Or are you following the rules that are set out for the activity? Now, we can live in a world of chaos, but that's not the goal, right? We hope to live in a world together constructively in some positive way. Let everyone be swift, James exhorts us, to what? To listen. To hear. Reminds me of Jesus. What does he say? Let those who have ears to hear. Right? That we're given these for a purpose. It means to comprehend. So not just to listen, but to understand, to heed, or the translation to listen. The Greek actually is akouo. Now get this, little side note here. And it's where we get our English word acoustic, acoustics. So one of the things that we've been working on in the new building is acoustical concerns, right? Because if we open up all these walls and we have all these hard surfaces, the acoustics can be really bad. Sometimes in here, the acoustics are kind of bad. Last week we had blown out an amplifier, and all of a sudden it didn't sound right anymore. Acoustics matter. How we hear things matter. I was thinking about, now, I don't know if this has improved much because I don't do many drive-thrus, but I always thought drive-thrus were so funny because you pull up and you're hungry, and then someone's like, and you're like, and then you wait. I have been to a few now that, you know, they have the, like, the, they give you the screen so you can see it because, like, I'm not going to be able to understand what you're saying. Or how about this? You're working from home and you're on a Zoom call and someone's like, like, this has become part of our culture. And then often people don't want to embarrass the person, so they don't want to make them repeat it. So, like, yeah, okay, Susie, good input. You don't know what Susie said. She doesn't know she's glitching out either. Isn't that funny? We live in this time of a difficulty. Acoustics matter. Or cell phones. I remember I was driving my car, and I was talking to someone, and they were impassionately speaking, and it kept dropping out. It'd go robot voice, and then go away and come back. And it's like, what do you say? I didn't hear you. You dropped out. And I remember one time I got so frustrated because, you know, you have to have hands free in the car, and that's fine. But I wasn't sure what was broken, and I ended up spending more time trying to fix the phone call than drive the car. Or I mentioned earlier these little things that we often carry. And this is just an observation, not a criticism, but I'm amazed at how many people I see walking around. I remember when that was a business thing for a while, phone calls, and like, oh, that's cool. But now it's like everyone seems to have one in and one out. And I often wonder, and I often ask, what are you listening to? I've asked people at work, hey, what are you listening to? I'm listening to a book. I'm listening to a podcast. Really? Right now? Yeah, yeah. Wow. And we're having a conversation. Yeah. How's that working for us? I mean, I do it too. I'm not judging. I'm just noticing that. Listening matters. The acoustics matter. How things are communicated matters. And this is the most important thing that I'm going to drive home with us this morning, is that us, intentionally hearing and making sure we're hearing those around us really, really matters. It matters before anything else. Proverbs has a couple of verses on this. I love the book of Proverbs, and this is just things that came to mind as I was preparing. This is Proverbs 18:13, and it says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Hear that again. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. God calls it foolishness. Foolishness. Now, I don't know if you've had this experience before, and I've shared this with you, I know, but I think it's funny whenever you ask a question of someone and they answer the wrong question because they assume the question you were going to ask, right? So you're like, how you doing today? And they're going to say, you hope they say, good. And then you're like, how you doing today? And they're like, not much. And like, what? Right? Or what are you up to? Good or no good? I don't know. That we already have an answer on our tongues. Now, that's a casual encounter. But what about when it really matters in our life? To answer without hearing, that is folly. And then the word says shame. That's a shame. Now, I want you to remember with me how old the book of Proverbs is. This isn't a 10-year-old problem or a 100-year-old problem or even a 1,000-year-old problem. This is a thousands-year-old problem of foolishness that we ought to listen before we answer. I wonder, do you think Jesus was a good listener? I wonder. Do you think that Jesus hears you and me? There's another proverb that came to mind. This is Proverbs 16:20, and it says this: whoever gives heed, that's pays attention, to instruction prospers, succeeds. And blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, right? So whoever gives heed to instructions succeeds. And we're blessed when we trust in the Lord. We talked about that earlier already. So we need to know what we're supposed to do before we do it, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Now, I'll just admit with you, I'm not sure if you're like me, but I don't like to follow instructions by default. And you might say, well, it's because you're a man, maybe. But if I ever get a piece of a toy or a piece of furniture that I need to put together, the last thing I do is read the instructions. And that's only after I've failed so miserably that I don't understand what this thing is anymore. And then I have to undo six steps to get to the first step that I didn't. Now, I know some of you are instruction followers, and praise God for that. But that's the lesson, that I would succeed if I would only listen to instruction, that we would succeed if only we would listen to instruction, giving it our full attention and be blessed. So now what I want to do together is give seven tips on being quick to listen, how to be quick to listen. And I'll tell you that these come from the scriptures, and I'm not going to point quote everything, but they also come from some of the time I spent with people and some of the materials that I've been exposed to over time, particularly involving intimate relationships. Because it's funny when you're talking about someone on the sidewalk who miscommunicates with you. It's less funny when it's your boss or coworker. It's not funny at all when it's your spouse or your children, right? And so I'm going to give us some tips that I think have wisdom in them on how we should be quick to listen, how we can do this practically. First, number one, top of the list, listen first. That's it. Listen first. You may have heard it said, seek first to understand and then to be understood. And I'm convinced that we all walk around with so much to say that we aren't willing to listen first. I can tell you that many times when this last week I was with someone and I didn't know them at all, and I started talking to them, and when I came out, someone said, how could you possibly have talked so long to them? But you know the funny thing was, I didn't say hardly anything. I just listened. That's what I was doing, was listening for a long time. So listen first. The second tip is to, and this is super, I'm telling you, church, this is hard for me, so I'm just going to say that, but listen slowly. Listen slowly. I don't know if you noticed it this morning, but I'm trying to not be so fast because I have a tendency to speak fast. Yeah, Tammy's like, yes, you do. And I have a tendency to, my brain's going even faster than that. I have friends of mine who are slow speakers, and I don't mean that they're slow. I mean they're intentional with how they speak, and I find myself in those conversations wanting to finish the thought. I'm like, I know where you're going already. I can say this for you, but I can't, but I think I can, and so we have to listen slowly. One of the reasons that I was able to listen so long is because that was my role. That was my responsibility with that person I had not met, just to listen, to hear what they had to say. And we would all do well if we listened first and listened slowly to one another. The third tip is to listen without distraction. Now, again, maybe it's just me, but I don't know that this is listening. Are you listening to me? Yep. Do I feel like I'm listening to you? Nope. Am I? Yep. Nope. Am I deluded? Right? talking to someone on the phone. This is my driving the computer, by the way, in case you're wondering. Talking, and they're like, are you listening? Yeah. Not listening. Huh? Not really, right? Listen without distractions. Especially, I would say this, the more important the conversation, the less distractions you should have. So that sometimes means that, like, you take this out, you turn it off, and you put it down, right? I know some of you, I'm like speaking to your soul, and you're like, yes, please, you know? But I'm this guy. I remember this week someone was talking to me, and I just closed my laptop, and that's hard because I need to listen. And I would rather be doing other things. And I hate to confess to you, but I was listening to someone else this week, and I decided not to do that because what I was doing here was more important than listening to the person who was speaking to me. It's tough to give our undivided attention, right? So listen without distractions. Number four, this is my favorite one. I do this in premarital counseling with people. It's my favorite one. Listen with your face. Listen with your face. And that means what it sounds like. You look at someone when they're speaking to you. Have you ever heard somebody say that to a kid? Look at them when they're speaking to you, please, right? Are you listening? I remember Mom Elaine, right, saying get down on the level with the child and talk to them, right? Get their attention. Look at their face. Engage in a meaningful way. So we should be doing that with one another. If I can tell you this, if we're sitting side by side and we're talking to each other, that's not the same conversation as if we're looking right at one another, right? Listening with your face, giving your undivided attention as much as you are able to give. So, no distractions, listen with your face. Here's another good one. It also comes out of premarital counseling, and I'm saying this confession this morning because this is why I love premarital counseling with couples, because it reminds me of all the things that I should do better. But it's listen as if you don't know what the person's going to say. Listen as if you don't know. So hard. Especially the longer you're together. Because the longer you're around somebody, the more you think you know what they're going to say based on what they've said before. Right? There's this conversation happening in our culture about AI, which is only right now a word predictor. My understanding as a layman, it's a word predictor. And it can listen to the language you've used over time and predict the word you're likely to use in that same scenario again. And people have actually AI'd themselves in their own work, like authors and poets and things like that. And they've been amazed at what the computer has generated predictively of what they would have said that they never actually said. But then there's a question. They've never really said it. So they maybe wouldn't have said that. Literally, it's inventing something that has not been said, as if it knows what you would say before you say it, although you have not yet said it. And so when we listen to one another, we should listen as if we don't know. I've been stunned at often, and it's not often enough. If I will listen as if I don't know, they will say something that I couldn't have guessed. But it requires being dedicated to listening, right? Being surprised. And then number six. Listen until the end. Whenever I was going to school, I was told that, and you know, if you know me, you know I have a hard time with punctuality, but it's like, be there when class starts and don't leave until the professor leaves. That was two instructions I got when I was going to college. And it's like, why? And it said, the most important things said in the class are at the very beginning and the very end. And if you just want to get out of there and get on with your day, you're going to miss important stuff that's going to be said. Listen to the very end. Give it the time it needs. This can be hard because you go, well, how do we ever wrap this conversation up? How do we ever stop listening? But we should listen to the end because there's often something else that needs to be said. As a matter of fact, another thing that I've learned is if you listen through the awkward silence, you'll be amazed what people choose to share. I think, honestly, our culture is dying for someone to listen to them. And it takes all of us to do that. And then number seven, listen to more than words. To more than words. So there's this thing that said that 85 to 90% of communication is what? Non-verbal. And 97 to 98% of statistics are made up for illustration purposes. But there's a lot of it that's non-verbal, right? That people are communicating things with their body language, with their disposition, with how they're engaging, with a tone of voice. And we can become very good listeners to other people, even more than what they say, which will lead us then to deeper and more powerful conversations. So listening to more than words. Now, I know we all do this, because often we will ignore those things that are more than words. And we will actually say, well, you said X, Y, Z, but we know that's not what they meant by the way they said it. So listen to more than words. So some biblical encouragement as we wrap up this morning. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says this, and you know this verse. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, hears them, and puts them into practice is like a wise person. Another place he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say, right? Do you hear? Are you listening? And then he adds on, if you're listening, are you practicing? James writes to the church, brothers and sisters, beloved of God, listen. Be quick to listen to one another. In the book of Philippians, it's written, whatever you have learned, whatever you have received, whatever you have heard from me, and this is interesting, or whatever you have seen in me, put these things into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I wanted to include that because it says what you've learned. How do we learn? By listening. What you've received, right? You're literally a receiver. What you've heard, and then what you've seen. Talked about ears and eyes. Practice those things, and the God of peace will be with you. That is to say that we model our actual beliefs. We do what we actually believe. And then lastly, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, famous verse. Jesus says, here am I. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. Jesus is asking the question in Revelation, are you listening? Do you hear the knock? I've had people say to me, well, why don't he just come in anyway? Because he's waiting to be invited in. So here's my questions for you today. How are your listening skills? Are you doing great? Are you a great listener? I hope so. Or are you like me and you need to grow as a listener? Who are you listening to in your life? Do you have so much noise that you can't hear the voice of God? Are you so busy that you can't listen to your family? What are you listening to? And then lastly, what do you hear? What do you hear? Pray with me if you would. Father God, I give you thanks and praise today for your word. It's an interesting thing to talk about listening. Father, I pray that in the work of your teaching today would be done throughout the week, that in our real lives and real ways, we might be obedient to your word that commands us and encourages us to be quick to listen. Father, I think this often, as you know, that we are quick to point to others and say they aren't listening. No one's listening. No one's being careful. But Father, if we claim Christ, that we, of all people, should be obedient, that we should be the ones who are quick to listen. Would you help us to hear? Would you help us to slow down and hear from you and hear from those around us? And then, Father, would you teach us the things we need to know that we might put them into practice? Oh, God, would you preserve us from being so busy talking that we will not listen? I pray you would do this for your glory and our good, and I pray you would do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.